He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's very fitting for us that we have this gospel given to us for the first Sunday of Lent, because it shows us, by the example of our Lord, that idea of fasting and that idea of doing penance for reparation, in reparation for our sins and strengthening our souls. This is what our Lord does in the desert, and being that it's the first Sunday after the start of Lent, for some people it's the first time that they're able to make it to the church to hear the gospel preached there. And so we look to our Lord as that example for our Lent. He perseveres. He doesn't wane. He stays strong in those sacrifices. And we also think today, because of that additional giving out of the ashes, of what that very mark means for all of us. Now, it does us well to understand the history of the imposition of ashes upon the heads of people as a mark of penance. It's something that comes to us from before the time of Christ. Many instances throughout the Old Testament, we see people doing penance and marking that by wearing sackcloth and ashes. In fact, God is appeased by this action as an outward action of showing sorrow for sin. God is so appeased by it. At times, He saved people for it. The Ninevites. God was going to destroy the entire city. It was Jonah's job to come and to warn them. He warned them that they had fallen away from the ways of God. He warned them that they had fallen into sin and that God was extremely angry and stood ready to destroy them all. And the Ninevites, to a man, every single one of them, they fell upon their knees, they prayed to our Lord, begging for mercy. They fasted, every single one of them. The king himself covered himself in ashes and sat upon a heap of ashes. They all did penance. God heard their prayer, saved the city. That repentance and that amendment and the moving onwards from those things, that was what the sackcloth and ashes meant. And so when we come into the times after Christ, it's no wonder that we continue on with that tradition of imposing of ashes. We are in no less need of doing penance for sin. We're in no less need in admitting faults of our own. So we continue on with that. Lent, the season of sacrifice, of penance, of fasting, that was imposed by St. Peter in the very beginning of the church, this 40-day period of sacrifice and prayer. And then shortly thereafter, it became that those who were public penitents, those who had committed various grave sins, whether it be apostasy and falling away from the faith, and or it be grave crimes that merited severe penances, and that they would oftentimes impose in a public way at that time, they would arrive, confess their sins at the start of the Lenten season. They would be imposed the public penance to perform throughout the duration of Lent. And then they would process to the front of the church, where the bishop there would then impose ashes upon their heads. This marked them as public sinners and public penitents, those who had, yes, sinned gravely, but now confessed and were working their way to rejoining the good graces of the church and the sacramental life. But over time, people continued to watch the ceremony happen. And at some point along the way, that we don't know exactly when, though the books talk about it, at least by the 700s, it began to be everybody. And it started with an individual. At some point along the way, this annual procession of penitents coming to the front of the church to get their ashes moved a man. He looked inwardly. He thought to himself, wait a second. Why do I just stand here and watch them go by? Why do I look at them as the sinners? Am I not also a sinner as well? And so he got himself out into the aisle and joined the end of the line, received ashes upon his own head, and inspired more and more to do exactly the same thing, and until finally, every year, everyone began to go up and receive ashes upon their head. That's where the tradition comes from. And that really is the spirit that we are to take for ourselves. It's not to be one of sitting back and looking upon another person and saying, ah, there they are, that sinner there. Or this person has that fault, and this person has this other fault, and I want to point them out, or maybe they should learn how to correct those things. That's not for me to look at. It's for me to look at my own faults. My focus is to be inward. My focus is to recognize that. I am to be merciful to those around me and harsh to anybody upon myself. It's the example that's given to us by Saint Stephen, the first saint of the church. What does he do? He's actively being persecuted, yet he forgives his executioners. We come all the way through the church, many examples there for us to see of the same. Come all the way to modern times. The greatest saint of modern times, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, same spirit. Never be scandalized by the gravest of thy neighbor's faults, and always be edified by the smallest of the virtues. That's what she said. We see it in the example given to us by Christ himself. None of the guilt of sin fell upon his shoulders. In fact, all of the offense fell upon him. Yet there he was walking to Calvary. There he was paying our price for that debt that we owed. And so Lent, especially, is that time that I'm reminded those things don't matter. What others do, what others' faults are, all that matters is what I can work on. That's my own faults. And so I look inward, recognize those things, not in a way to look at cause despair or discouragement, but in recognition of an honest look at myself. Because there are steps towards that betterment of my soul, steps towards sanctification. It starts first and foremost with that repentance. I look at myself and I recognize I have faults. Well, that's okay. Everybody does. We all have fallen human nature. We all have certain proclivity towards sin. We all have certain temptations that draw us, attract us. So either temptations, certain weaknesses that we're more apt to fall into. That's okay. Those are the things that we work at most heartily. Those are the things that we focus on. Because when I look at myself, my soul, I need to do so completely honestly. Without any kind of veil to it, without any kind of softening the blow, without any kind of trying to convince myself otherwise. I am guilty. God knows it. Why do I lie to myself? To make myself feel better? That does me no good. I need to be like the Ninevites. I need to realize when presented with that awful truth to say to myself, yes, I am guilty. Yes, I am a sinner. All I can do is come to our Lord and beg his mercy. Come before him and show him that I truly am sorry for my offenses against him. And I long to work away from them. That's repentance. And so we wear it upon our heads at the start of Lent by ashes. We wear it upon ourselves figuratively all the time by making good examinations of conscience on a regular basis, making good confessions as often as we can. We repent of our sins. Next step. What do we do? Prayer and penance. We got our ashes. Now we entered into the 40 days. We do our prayer and penance of Lent. It's that way throughout our whole lives. Once we recognize our faults, our sins, we look to amend for them. We look to show that our words of sorrow are not just words, but we put it into action. Lord, you died upon the cross for me. You suffered torments I can't even imagine. Let me share in that at least a little bit, because those are my punishments, after all. Let me give some sort of offering to you, Lord, some prayers and thanksgiving, some petitions of fortitude, some sacrifices to strengthen my soul, ways for me to prepare myself for future temptations, because certainly they come. I know that they're around the corner. Those are my opportunities to practice virtue. And so I need to strengthen my soul to be ready to face them when they arrive. How do I do that? Prayer and penance. I make my soul stronger, my will to conquer the weakness of the flesh. The third step, amendment of life. Here's where I put into practice all the good works that come from my prayer and my sacrifices. I realize that I'm wrong. I've sinned. I've fallen. I come to our Lord. I repent of those things. I do penance to share in the punishment of it and to strengthen myself for the next time. And now I look forward to say, how do I not fall again? Amend my life. Change something. Amendment, in this case, shouldn't be confused with success. We are fallen human nature. We do have fallen human nature, after all. And so we're not going to get it right every single time. We may fall back into the same sins again. We may repeatedly struggle with them again and again. But amendment is that recognition for myself that I cannot do the exact same things and expect a different outcome. I can't look at my life and say, I will just go about it without any kind of thought any further about how to better avoid temptation in the future, how to better not fall into sin. I constantly have to reflect, what can I change? What can I do? How do I better avoid temptations or fight against them when they come my way? Maybe it's bigger changes to life about changing the way I go about my recreation time or who I spend company with or what types of things I read to help my mind be brought back to the things of God. Sometimes it's small little things, little adjustments that we make to our day-to-day life to continue to try to grow. Regardless of what it may be, my attitude always has to be one of trying to be better tomorrow than I am today. I need to always grow. If I'm complacent, if I'm happy where I am in my spiritual life, I don't want to change the prayers that I say, the things that I do, the offerings that I make, then I'm no longer moving forward in my spiritual life. I'm no longer moving closer to God. And I risk going backwards. Amendment, a constant amendment, a constant realization that we are not perfect if we want to be that. It's a common fight to all of us. We're all in it together. We are all fighting for the same goal, the saving of our souls. Yet each one of us has our own fight to win. We have the common goal, but there's very little I can do to make sure that you get there. Just like there's very little that you can do to make sure I get there. We can encourage each other. And we can pray for each other. But there's not too much more than that. Because I have my own faults. And you have yours. And Lent is the time that we recognize that. We work at it. We strengthen ourselves by our sacrifices. We give of ourselves more so that we can make some extra progress in the way of spiritual life, getting ourselves a little bit closer to that end goal, and create some good practices which we carry on with us forever. Because ultimately, as long as we keep working for that goal, God will bless us, give us graces, and he'll assist us to one day achieve it. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.